Hi, everyone. My name is Jack. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jack.
And thank you, Jimmy, so much for putting this on. Thank you for inviting me. It's always an honor and a privilege to participate in an NA meeting. It's a special privilege to be able to be in this meeting with a number of my predecessors. And I had the privilege of knowing everybody in this meeting. And I can't tell you how much of a part all of this has played and how many of the people that were shared that Norm, Mel, Chuck talked about that I knew, had the privilege to know. And I realized while Chuck was speaking that before I ever met the man, he actually played a part, a major part, in me being able to get to the program. Before I got to the program, before I ever heard the name Narcotics Anonymous, I had someone get me a list of programs I could call because a partner of mine needed to get into treatment, and I decided I needed to go with him. I couldn't let him go by himself. And this person brought home a list of about 10 programs, and I'm guessing I chose Narcotics Anonymous because it said narcotics in the name. And the number I called turned out to be the World Service Office of Narcotics Anonymous, which at that time was Jimmy's house. Someone from the fellowship was manning the phone, and I asked them about a recovery house. Did they know of any? And they told me that one had just opened up down the street from Jimmy's house a couple of days ago. That ended up being the next number I called, which I got Bill Beck. And from Bill Beck, I got heard about Narcotics Anonymous for the first time. And most of what he told me, I thought was insane. I thought it was retarded. Nonetheless, I entered his recovery house several days later. Me and my partner did. And it was a while before I got to meet Jimmy, but Bill Beck sponsor was Jimmy, and Bill would drag me with him to go to Jimmy's house, and I'd sit in the living room and they'd sit in the kitchen. Jimmy's house wasn't huge, and I could see the kitchen and hear everything going on in the kitchen, and it was so awesome being a fly on the wall listening to these two guys talk about recovery, talk about Narcotics Anonymous. And as Chuck shared, service was an integral part. I remember as a trustee much later on, we often talked about how many of us began with service-oriented recovery as opposed to step-oriented recovery. Of course, we eventually had to get into the steps, but service is what dragged me into it first. And service was so important for me. I'm an isolationist, like many of us, and service kept me from being an isolationist. And back then, we had to serve in a number of capacities. We wore many hats. And I'd like to say that I got into service because I wanted to help the addict, but that would be a lie. I got into service because I got forced into service, and I'm so grateful for that. I got to share something about Jack Welly. I got to meet Jack Welly at the first World Conference convention in November of 1971, the one that Mel talked about. And this guy was running around in a Superman t-shirt. I got to meet him. I talked to him for a little bit. I heard him share at the Friday night meeting. And after about 10 minutes of him sharing, I thought, why are they letting this guy continue to talk? He's tearing up everybody. But a few minutes later, I understood why, because he just put it all back together with the principles of the program. And as I got to know Jack and I saw his reputation and I saw him tear newcomers up that had relapsed and come back, and eventually I was one of those relapsers. And as things would play out, the Friday night after I relapsed, I was at the Friday night NA meeting at this recovery house, and Bill Beck told me to lead the meeting. And so I led the meeting, and who the hell is the speaker at the Friday night, that meeting? Jack Whaley. We're sitting at a round table. There's 8 or 10 people at the meeting, and Jack's sitting directly across from me, and I'm leading this meeting just knowing I'm going to get my butt ripped from one side to the other. And I share that I relapsed, and I shared some things about it. I shared that how grateful I was that I realized that drugs didn't work for me anymore. And then I introduced Jack. Jack leans across the table, gets right in my face, and says, "You stupid SOB, it didn't work the first time you got here." And then he went on with his pitch. After the meeting, I was completely expecting to be shined on by him or to be ripped by him. And none of that happened. He continued to talk with me the same as he did before I relapsed. So I think Chuck talked about that we get what we need around here. And I needed that from Jack. Ripping me wouldn't have done me any good, I believe. The incredible blessings that have come about as a result of being in service, almost 11 years, I got to serve as a trustee with some of these guys, attending my first World Service Conference at the Valley College in the San Fernando Valley. I believe Chuck was chairman of the World Service Conference then. The many World Services conferences that I had the opportunity to participate in. I know one of the things that stands out as far as being a trusted servant, I spent quite a bit of time bad rapping. Let me back up a little bit, because one of the things that I remember Jimmy talking about often is how strong-headed we are, how opinionated we are, and that would explain why area and regional service committees are so insane, because you got all these people with all these bright ideas, and I certainly had mine, and I thought mine were right, and if you disagreed, you were wrong. It was really that simple. And because Jimmy constantly talked about that, later on, while I was a trustee, I remember being at a World Service Conference there was and still is the same issues going on about World Services. And these motions would come up, and people were politicking, and I talked badly about the people that were politicking at this one and at this one World Service conference. While the conference was going on, I was in the hallways. I was outside of the conference in the hallways telling people what they needed to vote on. And I was doing the politicking. And I walked back into the conference, and the vote on the issue that I was so concerned about had just taken place without my presence, without my participation, and without the participation of the people I was politicking. And I realized that my doing that failed to recognize something that I said I believed in, and that was that God expressed himself through our group conscience. I believe that. That put it in stone for me when I realized that I was doing the same things about as the people that I talked badly about, which is often the case. And it reminded me of what Jimmy had so often talked about. I came to realize that just as strongly as I believed what I believed, there were people that opposed what I believed because they strongly believed in what they believed. I don't get caught up in that. I just stick with what this program has taught me. A lot, you know, Chuck just talked about watching people. Well, I'm a people watcher. And Chuck's my sponsor, and I've often said I cannot remember a heck of a lot of what he's told me, but I can remember a heck of a lot of what he showed me. And that's true for all these guys on participating in this meeting and so many more. I remember being sent as a trustee with Bob Raymore to the first New York Regional Convention. They asked us to speak. They asked us to speak because we were coming out there. Three guys picked me up from the airport. Tony Daddio, Billy Red, and Ben. And they just hung with me for the whole 3 days of the convention. And Tony Daddio had me laughing my butt off for 3 days. He was quite a character and quite a he carried the message to a lot of people. He reached a lot of people's heart through his craziness and his sense of humor. And so did Ben and Billy Red. I got to sponsor Billy Red for a while before he died. I got to go, and travel, to many places as a result of being a service. And, you know, I find it ironic, somebody already said, I think, Tom said, God works in mysterious ways. As a trustee, we would periodically talk about whether or not we were going to send people to different world conventions. I usually was arguing against us sending people because I expected that there would be at least one trustee at a convention anyway. And I always got voted down in that. And I was probably the one, at least during my 10 years or 10 plus years as a trustee, that got sent to a variety of places. This is a guy that couldn't get out of his neighborhood when I was using. As a result of World Services, I'm traveling all around the country and eventually to other parts of the world. This wasn't supposed to happen. Like Chuck, although not, you know, one of the reasons I love Chuck is because he shoots higher than I did. He didn't think he'd make it to 30. Well, I didn't think I'd make it to 25, nor did I want to when I first got here. But I got to travel to a lot of places, and let me back up. And you're just going to have to deal with my jumping around from one place to another. World Service conferences used to happen at World conventions, and probably the first five or six World Service conferences that occurred at world conventions, they would take time out of the convention and hold the World Service conference, and anybody who was in attendance got to vote. There was one conference where they decided to incorporate the World Service Office, and so they decided they were going to elect officers to the World Service Board. Bill Beck ran around telling everybody from the recovery house that they needed to vote for me. And so I won the election. I guess that was God speaking through the group conscience. Me and Nolan Warner was elected the vice president. I was elected the president. Two other people that I completely lost track of a long time ago were voted in as secretary and treasurer. As a result of that, nothing really ever came of that as far as us. We never got the World Service Office incorporated, but what it did is it got me involved in World Service. And so I started going down to the World Service Office, which at the time was in Hollywood. And Bob Barrett was the only one really that was showing up there until I started showing up. Every Saturday I would go down there. Eventually, because I kept coming, Bob stopped coming. And so I'm left holding the bag, answering mail, sending out pamphlets, NA pamphlets, white books, and had an opportunity to move the World Service Office because we were paying way too much money in rent. $50 a month, I had an opportunity to move the World Service Office to another agency that was going to give us a separate part of their building that had a separate address, we'd have our own phone, and eventually we were talking about that in the regional Southern California regional meeting, and people were talking about that, and a lot of people were telling me how I couldn't do it. It was a violation of traditions, and I'm still pretty new, so the idea, you know, I was sensitive, and people were hurting my feelings, and I went and sniveled to Jimmy about all these people that were talking bad about me because I'm going to do this. And this is the other significant thing that I remember from what Jimmy shared with me. And that is, if you want to be in service, you better get used to getting your butt kicked. And he told me the people that were kicking my butt now might be the people patting me on the back next time, and the people that were patting me on the back now might be kicking me in the butt next time. And those words were true. And I know that everybody, I know that most of you have experienced it if you've been in service at all. That provided the groundwork for me to actually be able to be a service. And to realize that my will was irrelevant in the process of being a service. God's will and the group conscience was more important. If the group conscience decided different than I did, then it was my responsibility to support that group conscience to the best of my ability. And I hope to God I've done that. As I said, I've got, the other thing that worlds, went getting involved at that time in world services is, up until then, I thought the whole world was the San Fernando Valley, basically. When I got into the program, depending on who you talk to, there was anywhere from 25 to 50 meetings in the entire world. In my world, there were only three. We got to go from the recovery house, we got to go to the Moorpark meeting. We got to go to the Wednesday candlelight meeting. Chuck was the secretary at the time. And we got to go to a meeting in Hollywood on Yucca and Gower. That was my world until I started going down to this World Service office and started discovering there was a lot larger fellowship than just the San Fernando Valley. And later on, I got to go to a lot of places. Chuck kind of touched on this. You know, he went to a meeting where Jimmy was at, and I never realized how blessed I was and how fortunate I was to sit in meetings with Jimmy, with Bob, Jack Whaley, Chuck Skinner, Mel, Norm. I had no idea. It never occurred to me that it was a big deal until I started traveling. And even with a few years, having people respond to the fact that you had so much time, because 3, 4 years, 5 years, you were an old timer in NA back then. And I began to recognize the incredible opportunities I had, being able to come into the program at a time when it was struggling, when it was small, when we were told to start meetings, you know, and at some point Bill Beck sent me down to San Diego with another guy, and there were no NA meetings down there at the time, and we started some NA meetings. It's my understanding one of those meetings is still going today. But I also remember sitting in one of these meetings for weeks on end with just me and the guy that was starting them. That was such a great time to be able to come into recovery. Today, to be able to recognize how incredible one of the most ridiculous things that Bill Beck told me before I even checked into this recovery house was, you can't keep it unless you give it away. And that's the foundation of our program. That's why this program has grown, because we carry the message from one addict to another. We carry the message freely. No one's paying us to carry the message, unless you're working in the treatment field. But I don't consider that 12-step work. It's one of the things I try to... drum into people working in the treatment field, that this is not 12-step work, and you still need to go to meetings, you still need to have a sponsor, and you still need to be taking these steps. And taking these steps, to me, is more important than working them, because we have a chapter in our book that says it works. And it does. All I got to do is take them, and incredible things happen. Again, I want to thank you guys for putting this on. Thank you for including me. And God bless you all. Thank you so much.